Give your Bibles with you. I encourage you to be turning to John chapter 14. You know, oftentimes in today's world, we are met with nothing but bad news. And or if we are met with some sort of good news, there is oftentimes bad news that is tied with it. And I think we've all probably been asked the question, well, do you want the good news first or the bad news first? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? Here in John chapter 14, we're actually going to back up to the end of chapter 13 for a moment. Beginning in verse 31, it says, "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say also to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.'" So Jesus is telling his disciples here, he's telling them that he's getting ready to go away. And they don't quite understand what's going on. They are not understanding that it is needed for him to go away, for them to be able to also go with him. And so they're receiving this with a little bit of bad news. And as we continue on, Simon Peter says there in verse 36, "Lord, where are you going?" They don't understand. Where are you going that we won't be able to know where you are, or we won't be able to go? Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." So the disciples are getting this bad news, or what they're perceiving as bad news, that Christ is going to be leaving them and they can't follow after him. And then Peter is saying, "You know, Lord, I'm going to be there. I will come with you. I will do what it takes." But what does he say? "You're getting ready to deny me. Not once, not twice, but three times." So more bad news, or what they are taking as bad news. And so that gets us here to chapter 14. Jesus tries to comfort them a little bit here. And at the beginning, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And that in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." So he's starting to give them a bit of the good news. You know, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring you to me. But here in verse 5, Thomas says, "We do not know. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" So again, they feel like the bad news has come. They feel like they've received nothing but bad news. Jesus is saying, "I'm going away. You can't come with me. Peter, you're going to deny me three times." Thomas is confused. He doesn't know. Why can't we? How can we know where you're going? How can we know the way? But here in verse 6, Christ gives them three pieces of good news. And I hope that we take this as good news as well. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Three separate pieces of news that Christ gives to them. Three pieces of good news. And that's what I would like to spend most of our time on this morning is these three pieces of good news that Christ has given. So we'll begin with, I am the way. You know, in today's world, with GPS on phones and all sorts of, GPS devices that you can get and have in your car, it's very rare anymore that we need to pull over and actually ask someone what the directions are. I'm not saying we don't, and I'm not saying that the GPS is always going to get us to where we need to be. And so sometimes we have to ask for directions. But Jesus is answering Thomas's question, how can we know the way? I am that way. Turn back to John chapter 12. Here in John chapter 12 and verse 44, it begins, and Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day, for I have not spoken on my own authority. But the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Jesus is pointing out to them, I'm not coming. I did not come to this world to do the things that I wanted to do. I came because God sent me. He told me what to say. He told me what to do. But God sent me. It's important for us to realize that Christ was sent from God the Father. And if he has been sent from God the Father, he knows the way to God the Father. What is that way to God the Father? Well, he's saying here, I'm not speaking the words that, or he said in verse 49, for I've not spoken on my own authority. That I'm speaking by the Father who sent me and has given me a commandment. He says, I haven't come to judge the world. I came to save the world. Okay? If we remember what he's saying to the apostles here, I'm getting ready to go away, but I will come back. In John 3, as he is he's saying that he did not come to the world to condemn it. He didn't come to judge it. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Again, Jesus is saying, it is being told of Jesus, he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to show the world the way to God the Father. But he continues on here. I am the truth. Again, I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except by me. I am the truth. How many of us actually like to be lied to? I mean, we've all talked to someone and we've known as we've been talking to them face to face that what they're telling me is not true. It's not a good feeling that we get. But Jesus is saying here, I am the truth. Turn to John chapter 17. Here is Jesus is praying to God, and he says, let's back up to verse 6. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they are, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me. Again, Jesus is, we're finding out that the words that Jesus has come, the teachings that Jesus has come with, are from God the Father. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those who you gave, whom you have given me, for they are yours. Again, he is saying, I'm doing what you have sent me to do. As he says, for I have given them the words that you gave me. What are the words that Christ gave, or that God gave to Christ? As we continue on in this passage, and we'll drop down to verse 17. It says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So Christ is saying, I am the truth. Why is Christ the truth? Because he was given the truth from God the Father. Unfortunately, we know that there are those that will not continue in the truth or listen to the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I can get over here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writing to Timothy says in verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And will turn away from listening to what? To the truth. And wander off into myths. He starts out there, preach the word. What is the word? Well, we back up into chapter 3 and look at verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He's saying the word came from God. It literally breathed out of his mouth. The truth. But unfortunately, as he concludes there, some will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. According to dictionary.com, a myth is a traditional or legendary story usually concerning some being or hero or event with or without determinable basis of fact, especially ones that is concerned with deities or demigods and explain some practice, rite, or phenomenon of nature. With or without determinable basis of fact. Turn away to things that are not true. I think we've all seen TV shows. Maybe we've been in a court setting where, someone is getting ready to take the stand and you know, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Why is that important? Because we need to know. We don't want to know made up things. We don't want to know the things that are not going to lead us to the answer. The answer being God. Turn back with me to John chapter 8. Here in John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking with the Jews. So the Jews said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What did they tell him? Well, we're the offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, "Truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham. Yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." Well, who is their father? Who is he telling them? Let's skip on down a little bit. Look at verse 41. "You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." So they're claiming God as their father. But Jesus tells them in the next verse who they are true, if they're not believing him, if they're not following him, who their father is. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God. And I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." So again, Jesus is saying, "I was sent by God the Father." Verse 43, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." What is the word that Jesus is telling them? Those things that God has commanded him. Those things that he sent him here to tell the world. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Again. Tell the whole truth, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that is what Christ is telling them. So these people that are turning away to myths and fables, and they're just like the Jews here. They claim God to be their father, but they don't want to follow the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Unfortunately, many in today's world are just the same way. When we turn away from one part of the truth, then we're turning away from the whole truth. And just as the Jews, the truth is not in us. But Jesus finishes up with that third point here in verse 6 of John chapter 14. "I am the life. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know, as we look at the beginning of John's gospel here, or his gospel account, you know, he says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Talking about creation. Now, Jesus isn't talking here about giving life at the very beginning of the world. He's talking about the eternal life that he brings. It's not the first time that he also claims to to be the life. In John chapter 11, he knows that Lazarus has died. Verse 17, it says, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.'" So again, Jesus has claimed that he is the life. So how do we get to this life? How do we get this life that Jesus is saying that he is and that we must have in order to get to the Father? In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He tells Nicodemus in verse 3 that one must be born again. And Nicodemus doesn't understand. Said in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Be born of the water and the Spirit. Speaking of baptism here. In Romans chapter 6. In verse 3, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" And what are we doing symbolically with that baptism? We're putting to death that life of sin. Verse 4 says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." We've got to put away, to bury that life of sin. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." As many of you as baptized, as many of you as that have put the buried that old life of sin, you've been risen into a new life. You've put on Christ. Remember what Paul said that chapter before in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ." I put away that old life. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." When we're raised from that baptism, when we're raised out of that watery grave, we have that new life. We have Christ. We have Christ living in us, as he is saying. "And the life that I now live in the flesh, that I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. But Christ is now the life that lives in me." That should be a major comfort to us. That should be a major comfort to know that my old life is no longer here. And now I have Christ living in me. For as Christ said, "I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So three pieces of good news that Christ gives the apostles right here. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Is that something that we will accept? Is that something that we find as good news? Will we accept the truth? Will we accept the way, the truth, and the life? If not, then we have no hope. We have no hope to get to the Father, as Christ says right here in John chapter 14 and verse 6. This morning, have you accepted that way? If not, why not? You have the opportunity this morning. The baptistry is ready. If you would just take those steps. Accept Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Perhaps we have done so. Perhaps we've done so and we've let that old man of sin back into our life. Well, it's time to get our lives back on track. It's our time to get our lives back to the way, the truth, and the life, so that we can make it to the Father. This morning, if you have needs, we pray that during this song that we are about to sing, you would come forward and let those needs be made known. But please don't hesitate, because your brothers and sisters are here. They're waiting to help you in any way possible. But you've got to make that first step. If you have needs, please come now, as together we stand and sing.